Lick to go down here? I'm down at the creek because I haven't been down in the creek forever. And I might be missing some golf balls, although I doubt it because with all the rain and stuff, they've been washing away. But now I'm starting to question if we're going to be able to get down there because although it's been dry for a day or two, everything around here is still kind of soggy. Especially the dirt. Can we go down by the rocks? It's very slick. It's very slick. Maybe this is not a good idea. I wanted to come outside today because Will got up real early again, not sure why. And, well, there's two golf balls right there, a white and a yellow. Is there a Mati in these rocks? Is there a Mati hiding in the rocks? We got a very reasonable temperature. Once again, I woke up and it was 70 degrees American. What? That's like 22. 22, which is kind of the borderline of what I can deal with. And I see another white golf ball. And yeah, so I was checking the Weather Channel and it said humidity 100%. Now I'm not sure how the air is 100% water, but I'm breathing just fine. Found another white golf ball just standing here looking around. There's another one. A lot of white. And so, yeah, somehow we're at maximum saturation. I'm gonna run a stick through this web here. See if there's any way we can get down into the ball zone. Doesn't look like it. Oh, the creek's all weird. All the rain and everything is reshaping the landscape down here. There was an interesting sound. What was that? Huh. So we're in some good danger. We've got ourselves a high danger level today. And I don't want to be out here too long. I don't want to make myself sick. Are we going to be able to get back up this slope? Oh, jeez, it's slippery and weird. Ooh. This is the other thing, I can't exert myself this much. What we're going to do is we're going to move right over here so I can see into the golf ball zone better. I don't see any golf balls in the golf ball zone. This is because when it rains, any golf ball that lands on the bank gets washed away when it rains. Because this creek is the watershed for my entire neighborhood. And this is pretty much the beginning of it. So all the water over many hectares of land flows down into here. It rises. And water moves fast. And it washes the golf balls away. I'm just looking around for owls. We don't usually see them this late. But when the weather is this weird, all bets are off. Same with other animals. You can find raccoons doing weird stuff in the middle of the day when in this kind of weather, because it gets so hot. Yeah, so here we are. Nothing's going on. I can see people on the first tee. There's people playing golf. They're probably losing golf balls right and left. And we sometimes see them as high as this, but not today. Oh, it's early. Is it going to rain today or tonight? I don't know. Couldn't make sense of what the Weather Channel was trying to tell me. Oh, people are teeing off. So, is this as boring for you as it is for me? Because I gotta tell you, I got no content for you once again today. I actually went to Herrenhaven first. I thought Herrenhaven would be good because it won't be muddy. It'll be dry. We might be able to see something. So I drove over there really fast and pulled into the parking lot. And there was so many people that there was almost no place to park. And there was a lot of highly perfumed women with their little cameras. And so without even getting out of the car, I just turned around. I just drove all the way back to here. All right, I'm gonna step out onto the sidewalk and walk along the sidewalk here, because I gotta get my knees flexing. Gotta get my knees flexing because they're kind of crispy. Oh. What else was I gonna tell you? Oh, there's a little Japanese parasol mushroom right here. Looks lovely. Oh, it's gonna be another dysfunctional do-nothing day. I gotta figure out something to eat, something that's not hot. What am I gonna eat for lunch? I have no idea. Oh, they recently mowed this. It looks lovely. But I want to head up to the... I want to head up to the... Oh, God, it's unbelievable out here. Maybe you should just go home and pass out. No, it's probably going to be a while. The reason I woke up so damn early was because it's so freaking humid. And I've got nothing to tell you. I've got nothing to do. I've got nothing to say. So let's just take a peek over the fence here, see if there's any golf balls just laying right here. Oh, I see nothing. Yeah. Oh, it's another crappy day in the life of Tobe. These are the worst days. There's nothing to do. Well, it's not that there's nothing to do so much as it just can't be done because of the horrid, horrid weather. And, I've been out here for a good 10 minutes, plus all the time I was driving around. So I think this is about time to get back in the car and go home.
Keeping a ball clean is essential in improving play and enjoying a great round of golf. The R&R Products Grand Ball Washer delivers an elegant design while scrubbing the toughest soil from golf balls. Let's take a look at the many features that make the Grand Golf Ball Washer an asset on any course. The handsome body design is a clean, logo-free design. The unique integrated collar design provides an appealing washer to mounting tube transition. The die-cast aluminum body is protected with a durable, hard anodized coating to prevent corrosion. All ball washers are power coat painted in a rainbow of beautiful colors. The high-performance internal spiral brush provides superior cleaning. The carabiner hook securely holds
now,
the towel.
God, that's not a carabiner. And carabiners aren't hooks to begin with. Utter madness. It makes me insane. Anyway, so here we are. And I got to tell you something truthful. I got to tell you something from the heart. I don't want to do this. I do not feel like doing this today. am dysfunctional. I can't do anything. Oh, God. Today is another day of laying around. I gotta watch some Wuxia or something. And what the hell am I gonna eat? So anyway, yeah, now I'm just wandering around in my house. Walking around, looking out the windows, looking at stuff. Here's a bunch of golf balls. Looking out my window, there's still so much condensation, but at least I can kind of see through now. And my neighbors are back. I think my neighbors were on vacation for a couple of days, as I was concerned. But they have returned. What's going on out here? All right, looking out another window. A woman's walking by with her dog. Don't know what kind of dog that is. Let's see. What have I been doing? What have I been thinking about? What have I been? Well, I've been corresponding with this guy, who is a synth guy, and I'm trying to convince him to come to our thing. And this is killing me. Only because I don't know, how long has it been? Like 2 weeks ago? It's been longer than that. One night I was sitting around thinking about how do we get more people to come to synth night, right? We got to find some more synth people. And why aren't people showing up? And why have all the people that were coming to the thing stopped showing up? And I sort of realized two things, or I think I knew these things, but I don't know if I wanted to admit them to myself or what the problem was. Anyway, I thought of two things, and actually I thought of a couple things, but now my mind just went blank and I can only think of one, and this is the important one. I sent an email off to Aaron and saying, do you think we're scaring people off? Do you think people are intimidated? Because the truth of the matter is, with the whole synth night thing, our little sort of informal club, it's not, how do I say this? It's not musicians. It's mostly just sort of hobbyists, people who thought, synthesizers sure are interesting, maybe I'll get one and experiment with it, you know, just play around and see what's going on and blah blah blah. And so I emailed Aaron one night saying, you know, do you think that people were intimidating people? Do you think people come to this and get intimidated by what they see and blah blah blah? And he said, yeah, well, that could be that could be an issue. And I thought, well, how do we get around that? Well, there wasn't any evidence until I found this guy. And this guy, he put a post up on a public forum, the Omaha Underground Music Forum. And he posted a thing about, hey, does anybody want to get together and do a synth jam? And, you know, I saw it, so obviously I need to respond. Yes, I want to synth jam. Let us jam synth. And I got a hold of the guy. Got in contact with the guy, and I started telling him things about the synth scene. And I, dude, come to synth night. You want to jam? Come to synth night, we get stuff going and it gets nuts. We get people hooking stuff up. It's blah, 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 blah. Well, his response to this was, oh, yeah, well, actually, I have been to one of those. And he said that he was so overwhelmed by the level of talent that he just felt like he did not belong there. That was not his place to be. And he actually left. This disheartened me. I did not want to hear that. That's not good. This is not what we're trying to do. But on the other hand, I thought, aha, so my theory is right. This is happening. Some of us are intimidating other people just because there's... The truth of the matter is, it's just a difference of experience. You know, there's people who've been playing synthesizers for many decades. They have a lot of experience. So yeah, their music is probably going to sound a little different than someone who bought a synthesizer, I don't want to say on a whim, but somebody who's just sort of a hobbyist who likes to mess around in the basement, okay? And it turns out that the vast majority of people in this group fit that description. You know, they're not gigging musicians, they're just enthusiasts who in their spare time kind of mess around and maybe sometimes they make a little music. Or they just like to do bleep bloops. They just like to plug stuff in and go bleepity bloopity bleepity bloopity and make fun sounds, which is fine. This is, yeah, do this. If this sounds like a fun idea to you, yeah, get a synthesizer. Do some bleeping and blooping. It is fun. It is a fun thing to do. Trust me. Or don't take my word for it. You can talk to other SDFers like Overland. Overland, he loves to synth. He can tell you all about how much he loves to synth. You should get a synth. You really should. But that's neither here nor there. Because if you get a synth, then you can come to Synth Night. So anyway, I've managed to talk to this guy some more. And I said, okay, send me some of your music. Because I want to hear how bad this guy is. That he feels so intimidated that he... I don't know why he would. Because, you know, we got people who are beginners. And they just get up and say, oh, I made this cool sound. And they... and we just hear them make their cool sound, and it's great, right? Yay! Good symphony. So I get this guy to send me some of his music. Oh, and actually, we could check it out right now, it occurs to me. Would he get mad? I don't know. I don't think he would. But he's kind of a jungle guy, and he sent me his stuff, and I listened to... He sent me a couple of tracks. One was just sort of a test thing, and the other two were sort of finished product. And one of the songs was not jungly, but still very cool. And I was like, this is great. And I listened to the more jungly stuff, you know, super breakbeat. And it was good. It's like, what is this guy worried about? So I had to explain to this guy, yeah, no, you're too close to the edit. Because you're isolated and you don't hang out with musicians who do what you do, you're better than you think you are. You are your own worst enemy. And, you need to get your ass to Synth Night. The problem, I don't want to say the problem, this guy doesn't have a problem so much as the thing that's holding him back is, you know, he compares his finished product with commercial product. And you sort of can't do that. Only because the vast majority of people... And when I say people, I don't mean the hoi polloi. I mean musicians, people who are in music, or even people who are... What I'm trying to say is there's more to music production than people think. And it's mostly the mastering process. Basically, people understand, okay, you record, then you mix it down, and you have a song. Well, yeah, that's true, but then there's, after mixing, there's the mastering process, the mastering for recording. And without going into the details, this is a very tedious and long process that sort of maximizes everything so it can be recorded, so it can go out on the air. And this involves a lot of things like compression, number one, and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. So this poor guy, his only comparison is like the records he likes to listen to. And when his music does not end up sounding like the records he listens to, then you know, he gets down on himself. Probably not quite understanding that, no, it's not your music. It's the post-production. So much post-production goes into commercial music that it's overproduced, which is why it sounds the way it does, and da-da-da-da-da, and it doesn't. I don't know. So, should we listen to some of this guy's stuff? Yeah, okay, hold on a second. Let's get back down there, and which track do I want to drop, though? Do we want to listen to the jungly one, or do we want to listen to the non-jungly one? Okay, this one. He calls this Dusty Breaks. Thank you. Yeah, and then it kind of just fades out here. But, okay, you see what I mean? If you listened to that and you thought, well, you need to realize a couple of things. This guy is making music. His interest is in making music, not in recording music. So if this track has any shortcomings at all, it's not the composition. You know, I'd love to hear this guy play live. I'd love to hear this guy jamming in his basement or his room or whatever he does and listen to this live. Because the problems are in the recording. The problems are in the recording process. And this is difficult to understand for most people. Making music and recording music are two entirely different skill sets. And the truth of the matter is the vast majority of people who are interested in making music have no idea about the recording process. The recording is a whole different thing. So when we listen to that particular track, you can tell he's got the compositional ideas down. He understands the form he's trying to fit in. He understands, you know, what elements need to go where, how the song needs to go. And some of it's great. The ideas are great. It works, blah, blah, blah. But that particular recording, I'd like to hear some of the non-percussion elements a little bit hotter in the mix. You know, these are the highlights that give, I don't want to say personality or flavor. It's a matter of recording. This guy is down on himself for his music, and it's only because he's trying to compare it to stuff that he shouldn't be comparing himself to. And what he's hearing is not differences in his music, it's the difference in the recording process. I think I have managed to explain that to him, and I think he gets it. And so I expect to hear from him today. I'm further telling him, come to Synth Night. You are one of us. You need a peer group just like us. That's why we're doing this. You need a peer group. We can help you out on stuff. We can give you tips about recording if that's not a thing that you do. And blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, hoping to get this guy into the whole thing. But I should also probably tell you that you've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every damn day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. My name's Tobe, and I gotta go pass out or die from this humidity.
Calling on me.
What?
It's my house. I own it.
Okay, I understand.
Man, if you'd hold right. That window right there.
Can you? All right.
I'll jump through and meet you at front door.
Okay.
And I'll show you
the dolls that religion you choose though. Okay.
My religion. That's right.
All right, jump in there. Don't kick me on your way in. All right. Oh. Uh-oh.
Come in here, man.
You don't have no snakes or nothing, do you?
Man, I got snakes from one end of this house to the other.
No, I'm serious. I don't like snakes.
I will protect you.
No, you tell me where the snakes are, because I don't like
snakes. The snakes around here. I want you to get a look at them.
Hey, yeah, you're right. I'll stand right here.
No, wait a minute. You don't understand how many there are.
Dude.
You see all them snakes right there?
Yeah.
You see them snakes right there?
Yeah.
They're my babies.
Okay.
I care more about them snakes than I do a human life. Just like that, man.
Okay.
Them snakes mean more to me than any human being ever born, man. Well, right there, you know what that is? That is a wine opener.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this, I don't know, you tell me what that is.
That's a skeleton where you use it for a candle holder, right?
That's all that is.
Yeah.
I really don't know what this means. I don't know what it amounts to. I believe in God, and I don't pray to Satan, but,
Hey, is there any more snakes back here? Is there any more snakes back here?
I swear to God, I won't let nothing happen to you.
Is it? Wait, whoa, 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 wait. Is the snake in there?
I hope.
Man, I tell you what to do.
No, I'm gone, man.
Hey, Mr. Moody, you ever thought about being a snake remover? In other words, if we went to a call and there was a snake in somebody's yard, we can come.
I grab him up, no problem, man.
Okay.
I don't care what damn kind of snake it is.
And you're willing to come out and remove it for us?
I'll hypnotize it. And I'll put it in my bag and he'll be in the house.
Thanks a lot.
He'll be in the house. I ain't scared of the devil himself.
All right.